Grace to you, mercy and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The parable of the Good Samaritan. You know the parable, I hope. I want to talk about the background that should challenge our easy comfort with ancient concepts of friend and enemy. Jesus' 72 disciples had returned elated by the results of the challenging assignment that they had feared. And Jesus thanked God and in turn to the disciples. And into that joyous scene, Jesus declared, "Happy are he who see what you see. I assure you that many of the prophets and kings wanted to see, but did not see, and did not hear what you hear. But they did not hear it." An expert in religious expectations stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus turns to him and said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and strength, and your neighbor as yourself." Yeah, that's that neighbor business. Okay, who exactly is my neighbor? And that becomes the issue for this evening. As Jesus goes on to describe what the proud religious expert would need to open his eyes to the needs of his neighbor, perhaps you have heard in the news recently from the mouth of some very important people the word scum. Yes. The least likely concern for a neighbor you can imagine. For a first century Jew, that surely should have been the occupying power of Rome. But in practice, on a day in and day out basis, it was the residents of what had been the northern kingdom of Israel and had broken away centuries before in revolution. Who is the neighbors that they should love? Who is the neighbors that they were afraid of? It should have been Rome, but it was Samaritans, no longer welcome in Jerusalem with its temple. They worshipped at an ancient religious site in Samaria, where they fell away to sometimes very strange practices, separated from their relatives in the south. They became enemies, eventually giving to every conquering power. These were the Samaritans who were disintegrating. We will recognize our neighbors in Jesus' response, the Good Samaritan. Maybe an unexpected Good Samaritan. The parable describes a crime victim who is robbed and left along the road to die, ignored by those who passed by, ignored by an upstanding Israelite practicing religious leaders, and abandoned to die. A parable gets its power by unexpected outcomes. In this parable, it is the religious leaders who smugly turn away, relying on their religious expectations to ignore the victim. And it is a Samaritan who stops, who unpredictably cares for the victim. Almost all of Jesus' parables had unexpected results. And this one perhaps the most. Who is my neighbor? Depending upon experience, we are used to imagining the victim along the road. Too easily passing judgment on those who ignored his need for help. But over and over again, we make the same judgment. Perhaps out of fear, perhaps out of experience. Jesus turned to a religious leader. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and your neighbor, the guy along the road, as yourself. Okay, but who is your neighbor? Sometimes the least likely. My particular image is reflected by many real-life events, but none so much as a very personal event in the fall of 1968. The late 1960s were filled with a bunch of painful events, but in my heart, none so much as the twin assassinations of Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King Jr., and personal fears and prejudices that finally blew apart in riots in Baltimore City. The following spring in 1969, I was a junior at Gettysburg College. I was connected by then to a young woman, Karen, from a women's college in Chambersburg, 25 miles from Gettysburg. Cardboard signs became my journeying task. I was given a ride to Chambersburg one Friday evening, but I had no ride back, so I printed a sign that said Gettysburg on it. I stuck the sign up after leaving as late as they would allow me to stay. It took me two rides to get out of downtown Chambersburg, out onto sort of the main road, 5 miles towards Gettysburg. And there I was dropped off my second ride, so I held up my sign, Gettysburg, I need a ride. Nothing passed by car after car, I began to expect I was going to have to walk 20 miles to Gettysburg. It was under the canopy of trees that turned Route 30 into a dark tunnel of trees where it passes through Caledonia Park. And then finally, a car, a single car. I was expecting to walk those 20 miles back. I held out the sign. And then I listened. This guy's slowing down. He better slow down, that piece of junk he's driving. I'll hide the sign. And then he slows down completely. It comes to a stop. There are three African American teenagers in that car. And they say, "Hop in." You know, they took me all the way back to Gettysburg. They turned at the square. They dropped and parked in front of the fraternity house and left me off. Who is your neighbor? Surprising. By the way, the next week it's stupid, right? I'm back in Chambersburg. This time, I got a single ride out of town to almost the same place I was the week before. And a wonderful car is coming down the road, and he's slowing down. It was a GTO convertible.
Ooh.
The two guys in this car were fraternity brothers up the street. I got in the back seat and ducked down. We passed a Cadillac that night going up the grade through the woods. I'm sure that Cadillac driver doesn't even know to this day that he was passed. Who would you trust if it were come down to it? I learned an important lesson that night. Oh, I had learned lots about African Americans in those couple of years and the pain that they had suffered. But folks, I went to Glenmount Elementary School. There was not a single black face there ever in my time there. I went to City College. On Rosh Hashanah, there were five of us left in the homeroom class where I was. And one of us was black. You see, there are neighbors for all of us. We need to understand who those neighbors are and that we are blessed by their care, that we are called, that we are beckoned by our Lord Jesus Christ to open the doors, to open our hearts, to open our efforts, that the world may come to know that we are not good religious people and bad unreligious people. We're just people called to love, called to serve, called to pick up that guy along the road, to put him on our animals and take him to the hospital and see that he gets cared for. Because that's what Jesus does for us. "Who is my neighbor?" said the religious expert. "Well, turn around and look. because he and she are everywhere, calling you to touch the world with love, to touch the world with food when it's necessary, to touch the world with a welcoming hand, because that's what we expect of Jesus when we come to the kingdom of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.